get that. Actually have a few notes I don't want to forget here. So, okay, we are going to start a series on 1 John. Okay, we're going to be teaching in 1 John. Now, I'm going to encourage the church. I've already read through 1 John many, many times in my life. In fact, there was one time when the Lord was dealing with me in my life about the topics that were in 1 John. I had quit going to church. I had been hurt. Has anybody been hurt in church before? I have. And sometimes it's on purpose, sometimes it's not. You're around people, people get hurt. And I had quit going to church. Actually, I hadn't gone to church in a while, but the Lord kept me in 1 John. And I brought a different Bible today. And how many of you think the Lord said anything to me when I was in 1 John? Now, this is the Bible that I was reading at the time. And every day, no kidding, for I bet it was almost a year. I read other things too, but I was in the book of 1 John. Now, what are one of the lessons in 1 John? Big lesson in 1 John. It's fellowship, right? Now, the Lord, the whole time I'm reading 1 John, I know that God is telling me, Brad, you need fellowship. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and we have fellowship one with the other. And I want to tell you how dense I was. I didn't go back into fellowship. So it's no wonder that the Lord kept me right there. So many times in our life, we say, and this is kind of ricocheting off of last week's message, so many times in our life, we say, God, speak to me, or we're looking for a word from God, or we're trying to hear from God, and God is already speaking to us. If you're a born-again believer, if the Spirit of God is in you, then I can assure you that God is speaking to you all the time. Something Kurt said last week that kind of challenged me, but I know that it's true. He said that God had even spoken to him from a license plate. Now, I have a question for you. How many of you, be honest, checked out a few license plates this week? Anybody? Yeah, we have a few, right? I knew it would happen, right? You know, and he said that even God, but what the point was, it's not how God speaks to us, but that God is always speaking to us in many and various ways. And I want to assure you that God is speaking to you. One of the things that Kurt talked to me about before he even preached, though, he had a concern. He said, Brad, one of my concerns, though, and you didn't hear this part of his message, he said that many people, they want to get words from God, or they're trying to hear from God, but they're not spending time in the Word of God. Did you know that? In other words, if we want to hear from God, and we want to fine-tune how we're listening to God, we need also, I agreed with everything he said. I endorse it. I'm behind it. I listen for words all the time. But one thing that I need to do, because I'm a fallible human being and I can miss it and get it wrong, I need to spend time in the Word of God to know my Father, to know His character, to know what He stands for, and to know the truth. So in all of our getting, when we're trying to hear from God, if we're not spending time in the Word of God, you're liable to get a little bit kooky. Did you know that? You ever know someone that you're getting a word everywhere, right? You can wind up being a little bit kooky if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Our barometer, our test, our plumb line is God's Word. Now, when we study the Word, it's very important that we study it with the Holy Spirit. When we come to the Word of God, and like that prayer that Brother Kurt talked about last week, about God opening the eyes of our heart and opening the eyes of our understanding, if we don't ask the Holy Spirit to come, if we're not expecting the Holy Spirit to come, it can become a dead letter. It can become something that doesn't speak to us. We need the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and help us as we're gaining understanding from the Word. Amen? And when we go into the Word, and as we're going into 1 John, I have a concern about 1 John. When we go into the Word and we're looking for words or looking at other people and saying, oh, this applies to them and this applies to them, but we're not allowing the Word to take root in our heart. We're not allowing the Word of God to come to us and speak to us, but it always applies to that person, this person or that person, but it doesn't apply to us. We're going to be in trouble. This word that I'm going to bring out of 1 John, and I've been in there dwelling in it and living in it, this word applies to me. And this word is going to tap you, and you will be challenged from this word. 2 weeks ago, I had no less than 5 people come up to me, or 5 people had said, that word was to me. Brad, that word you spoke right to me, you read my mail. Was I preaching to that person? No, I was not. I prayed, and sometimes I will address things that are going on in the congregation, but I am preaching out to all of us, and most of all, I'm preaching to myself. And when I'm preaching out of 1 John, if this stuff touches you, it's already touched me. God has already convicted me. God has already dealt with me on these very topics. That's one way that you learn. Sometimes when you're walking this life, you get beat up a little bit. When you're pressing into God, you learn sometimes, even from your mistakes. And so from that vantage point, you can preach and say, hey, you don't want to go the way that I went. I tried to go this way, and it didn't work for me. So as we go into 1 John, I want to encourage you that this word applies to your pastor first and foremost, but it applies to all of us. To get our eyes off of, well, who are we talking about? We're talking about me. It's not the preacher, not the teacher, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Another thing in the book of 2 Timothy, and this is all introduction to try to get our hearts set. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, you can read them later, look them up, write them down. But Paul says sometimes the word of God is corrective. And this word is going to be corrective to all of us. We get exhorted, we get rebuked, we get corrected, we also get encouraged and admonished. If the only thing you ever hear is how good you are, and you are good, you're dynamite, God loves you, He's on your side. But if the Lord doesn't ever bring some correction or adjustment to your sails, the Lord corrected me yesterday several times, little small corrections in my attitudes and how I was thinking. I dealt with the person yesterday that I love greatly, and I got irritated. And the Lord brought correction to me. He says, Brad, I'm not irritated. I don't get irritated. Now, God has a lot of emotions, but you're not going to irritate God. God's steady and steadfast. So the Lord brought correction to me for irritation. I had this week one time I had jealousy reared up in my mind. I had some jealousy coming through my mind. Do you think the Lord corrected me? Do you know how fast I get rid of jealousy? It's like lightning bolts. When I sense jealousy, I run to God. God, get this out of my mind. Get this out of me. I plead the blood immediately when I'm sensing. Am I the only one that's ever had a jealous thought? Maybe 2 or 3 of us, right? Amen. Well, that's good. No, the Word of God is corrective. It's admonishing us. It's encouraging. Not everything is going to be easy to take. But Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, and again, I believe Paul wrote it, he says that God corrects us like a father. He comes into our life and He brings correction because He wants us to grow. He said, if you don't receive correction and discipline from your father, the King James says you're a bastard, which means you're fatherless. God loves you enough to correct you. Think of moms and dads out there that allow their children just to run amok. Is that love? No, it's not. Now, we spoil our grandbaby. I love being a grandpa. Get all the benefits of having a kid. You just really can spoil them and send them on their way. It's awesome, right? Hey, man, it's great. It's like, oh, Lord, thank you. But you know, when you have children, you're responsible to correct them, to admonish them, and to discipline them. We are children of the Father. So not everything is going to be just, you know, oh, you're awesome, you're great, you're wonderful. No, sometimes, and I really believe a teacher or a pastor that loves you, we are going to preach things that it's going to come up against you and say, hey, we need some correction here. And it's not just for guys murdering and committing adultery. It's the spiritual sins that we commit. Bitterness, right? Anger, irritations, all these things that come into our life. It's not just the big things. In fact, I really believe with God, the most important things aren't always the sins of the flesh, the things that we do physically, but it's the attitudes that we harbor in our heart. And John is going to talk about this. I want to encourage all of us to get into 1 John. there's a book written by Roy Hessian, and I'm going to recommend it to you. It's called The Calvary Road. And if you can get a copy of this, I'm going to recommend it. It's written in like 1950 or something. And this guy talks about what it means to be a person that walks with the cross of Christ in our heart. What it means to deny yourself. What it means to let go of your will and your way. And to surrender at the cross of Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. If you can't afford to get it, I mean this, I'll buy you a copy of it. It's that good of a book. And he talks a lot about 1 John as well. And one of the things that I love about the book, it's been responsible for a lot of my Christian growth. There are many times in our life where we have controversies with God. And when we have these controversies with God and we hit up against the wall, we hit up against something, it's those very controversies we have with God that are going to cause us to grow. That thing that's bothering you the most, that thing that's hurting you the most, that thing that's irritating you the most is the thing that's going to cause you to grow the most when God gets his way in that thing. It's the same with marriages. In a marriage, I've seen this a lot in marriages. If in a marriage, you and your spouse, you're going to rub up against each other sometimes. Is that true? Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Don't say it too loud. Just say amen, Brother Brad. Some of you husbands kind of amen. That's right, Brother Brad. But listen, yet those things that you encounter with your spouse, but if you work through those things, if you put your spouse ahead of yourself, think about the most important relationship you have with your spouse and how you have to walk that out. You have to be quick to forgive. And one of the biggest things that you can do with your spouse is communication. You've got to open up your heart to her. He has to open up his heart to you. As soon as you turn your back and you get quiet and uncommunicative, and sometimes, how many of you know that you have to give your spouse a minute to process something, right? You just can't all, sometimes you want to, I'm a guy, and Pam's my witness here, I'm a guy that says, no, we need to fix it right now. Right now. And she's like, get away from me. Get away from me. I need time to process this. One time, now this, please forgive me, because we were newly married at the time. We were still fairly, she so much wanted to get away from me, she put her hands on the side wall and pinched in with all her might, and I'm pulling on her. No, we need to talk about this. And she literally is clenching in. She's a lot stronger than me, by the way, because I could not move her off that wall. Now, my personality, after a while, I'm laughing. I'm just thinking it's hysterical. How many of you, let's vote, how many of you think Pam thought it was funny? You would be wrong, okay? She did not think it was funny. But I wanted to know, sometimes you do need to give space. You need to know your partner. You need to learn your partner. See, when you have an intimate relationship with somebody, you after a while, now I haven't pulled Pam off a wall in a long time. Not that she hasn't clung to a few, okay? But I haven't done that in a long time. Over time, you get to know somebody, and you get to know yourself. You get to realize that, you know, I got things in me that aren't right that I need to work on, and I need to change. So over time, you know, in all seriousness, she hasn't had to do that in the last 10 years at least, right? Because we've learned each other. When we're in the most intimate relationship with each other, now, this is the very thing that the Father wants with you. He wants that intimate relationship with you. But in an intimate relationship with God, there has to be communication. God has got to be talking. That's what Brother Kurt talked about last week, and it was awesome. And I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you one story. I'll probably tell it now. But anyway, communication is two-way. God is talking to you, and you're talking to God. God is being intimate with you, and you are being intimate with God. One of the things that happens in our walk with God is though that we shut our mouths. When God tells us something that threatens us, that touches our ego, that touches us, a lot of times we turn our backs, we get quiet, and we try to run away from God because we don't want God to deal with us in that area. Lord, you can have anything, but I'm not going to India as a missionary. Anything else you want. Now, what do you think will be the thing that God deals with you on for the next 5 years?
Going to India.
And then when you finally get done and you say, God, I'll go, he'll say, I don't want you to go. That's right. Because what God wants is our heart and our willingness, you know? And it's in every area of our life. God has dealt with me on my family. He's dealt with me on my marriage. He's dealt with me on finances. He's dealt with me on ministry. He's dealt with me on relationship. God is continually, and we can grow in this thing. And many times, if you have said, I'm dead, or I don't hear God, or God seems distant, it's not because God has moved or left. It's often and almost always us, because we have shut down God in our lives when he wants to talk. When God gets difficult, when his word is challenging, I guarantee you that anything God is speaking to you to bring change into your life is for your good. The most freeing, liberating life that we can live is a life in harmony with God. Yesterday, after we did Parkside Saturday School, Pam and I were debating on whether to go to my brother's birthday party. And we said, yeah, we better go. Honestly, I listened to the Lord. Lord, and I felt like, yeah, you need to go, Brad. It's your family. Go. And on the way there, we were supposed to buy some pop. And I'm saying, we'll go to that little market on 79. And we missed it. Okay, we'll go to the BP. We'll shoot down Dayton. You know, we missed it. And I keep thinking, we're going to go here. I'm trying to think of something on the right-hand side of the road and trying to figure this out. And I said, well, there's got to be something on the way. Literally, we're coming down 16, and I'm pulling up to the light, and I look over, and there's a Family Dollar there on East Main Street. My heart kind of leaps. Hey, I'm going to go to Family Dollar. And I decide I'll go in there, and just as I go get ready to turn in there, this guy's pulling this thing behind him, and he goes out in front of me, and he gets in the lane, and he turns left on East Main, and I go behind him. And as I'm going behind him, all of a sudden, he slows down. I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. Pam and I have this thing. We think God has put everybody on the road just to make us more patient people. Isn't that true, Pam? I'm saying, Pam, this is not an accident. God does this everywhere to me. If I'm in a hurry, always someone's going to slow down, and they're going to go 20 into 55. Am I the only one that happens to? I mean, I'm not even kidding. It happens to me constantly, and I know now God's working on my patience because I start getting irritated. You know, and I said, and the Lord has dealt with me now. I just sit, don't I, baby? I just sit back and I'm like, woohoo, you know, okay, Lord. You know, I'm not budging. I'm just happy. I'm not gonna let this bother me at all. Meanwhile, my foot's going. But I'm trying to be cool. I'm trying to be cool. You know exactly. Some of you have probably done way worse than I ever have. I'd hate to drive behind some of you. I know how you are. But we get irritated by these things, and I honestly believe that these people get in my way because God is working patience in my life, and I'm learning to yield to it. So anyway, this guy, all of a sudden, he turns into Family Dollar. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about being a doer of the word as we're going into walking in the light. The Lord has taught us and taught us all, we need to be doers of the word. And one of the things Kurt said last week is we need to be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Now, God may never speak to you through a license plate. He hasn't me, okay? But God will speak to you in 1,000 different ways. And when that guy turned in my spirit, in my heart, the Lord said to me, do you think that's a coincidence that you pulled off, you're behind this guy, he pulls off and goes in? Now, I have some experience with this in this area in my life. This isn't the first time that the Lord's spoken to me. And I said, Lord, no, I don't. And the Lord said, I need you to talk to him. Now, the guy's pulling a trailer and a tractor. I figure he's a big guy. You know, he's a lawn worker or something. And he got this big old truck pulling in. And so in my mind, I'm trying to figure out what he's going to look like. Like, remember that one guy, is it Ernest? How big a boy is he, Lord? You remember hear that guy on, never mind, talking about getting off the phone and fighting him. He goes, how big a boy are you anyway? So I'm trying to figure out, how big a guy? Is he going to be some huge guy, you know? But anyway, I get off, and Pam and I go inside, and I say to the Lord, and I always say this to the Lord, I say, Lord, I belong to you. Whatever you want me to do, you know, just help me, and I'll do it. I belong to you. I'm yours. I'm not my own. And sure enough, we're in the back of the store, and this guy comes in, and he grabs some water. Now, literally, I'm thinking about Kurt's message. Be aware of your surroundings. God will talk to you through your surroundings. You've been following this guy. This guy turns off, you turn off. He turns in, you turn in. And it doesn't happen every time, but I had a witness. I need to talk to this guy. Be aware of your surroundings. Be doers of the word. The guy is pulling water down, and I said, walked over, and I had faith come on, just a little bit of boldness. And I walked up, and I said, hey, how you doing? He looks at me. I said, my name's Brad. You got a second? Can I talk to you? He said, yes, and I'm a Christian. And I said, I really feel like I need to talk to you. And I don't remember the whole conversation. I asked him if he was a Christian, started talking. This guy had gone years ago to an apostolic church, and at that point in time, he did not go to church anywhere. He said his wife sometimes goes to church in Coshocton, but they really didn't have a set church to go to. And this guy's name was John. And John and I talked, and we talked for 5 to 10 minutes, and I'm listening to the Lord to see what the Lord would have me say to him. He received me, and he listened to me, and I talked to him about God's will in his life. I talked to him about his life. He responded to me very well. Now, here's the amazing thing about God speaking. So we're getting done. We're almost done talking, and I say, well, where do you live? And this has happened so much. He goes, I live in Fallsburg. I go, Fallsburg? Really? I go, that's, you know, our church is just like, a lot of people from our church live in Fallsburg. And he asked me where I lived. I said, I live off of Purity and Harmony. He goes, I live right down the road from you. Literally. We're in Newark at Family Dollar. And what's amazing, this is happening all the time to me. And he says, I live right down the road. I drive by your house all the time. I know right where you live. I told him right exactly. And I gave him a card, and I invited the man to church. And he seemed very open, didn't he, honey? Pam was there. She's my constant witness. It was a wonderful conversation. When he left out the door, he said, hey, thanks for talking to me. See you later. It was all positive, and I got to invite him to church, and he hasn't been going to church. And the fact that he lived right down the road blew me away. The day before, and I won't give you the whole testimony, we had, is Daryl and Sheila here? Are they here? They're back there. We were in Walmart, and there's my witnesses, and we stopped and talked to them. Do you know we had 3 more encounters before we left Walmart? And the last encounter we had, a guy named Keith, we talked to him, and I was giving him a word about his life. He was not a Christian. I was talking to him, telling him Jesus loved him. I literally was walking by, and as I walked by, something jumped in me, Brian, and I just started talking to the guy. When I told him where I lived, his eyes got big. Where do you think that guy lived? He lived off of Purity. He lived off of Purity Road. Now, why do I tell? I don't care if you, there's so many things that God is working on in my life, and I'm such an imperfect person. I'm not telling you that to pat me. What I'm telling you is God speaks to us, and God leads us perfectly. Heading out the door at Family Dollar, I'm standing at the door, and Ace Winters and his wife come in, and I'm backing out there, and I talk to him. He told me he was making these banners that I've been trying to find someone that makes. That was another divine connection. He makes these little signs. Now he got a new machine. He was telling me all about that. I'm leaning up against the door, and an Indian woman with her son comes behind the door, and they rattle on the door, and I turn around, and she doesn't look happy with me because I'm leaning on the door. And so I'm leaning on the door, and I look, and I know she was angry, and I wanted to be nice. I said, I am so sorry. She barely looked at me, and she bowled past me. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to block the door. I go out the door, and there's an Indian man working on his car. And I said, hey, are you okay? He goes, yes, I'm fine. And me and Pam go over to the car, and I said, Pam, do you mind if I talk to this guy real quick? I need to talk to him. Now, my poor wife, she's been through this 1,000 times. I've actually gotten better because I used to go out with couples, and I'd get up off my table and go talk to people. But I started feeling bad, like it's really rude if I'm out with you guys and I keep leaving you, going off to talk to somebody else. So I'm getting better about not doing that, running people down in parking lots. I'm like, well, I probably should talk to you since I'm with you. So I am getting better. But anyway, I said, Pam, do you mind if I talk with this guy? This gentleman was a Hindu man. And I told him that Jesus loved him. And he actually lived in Columbus. He was heading to Coshocton to the balloon festival. I told him that Jesus loved him. I told him I was so glad that he lived in the United States of America. I asked him if he was a citizen. He said he's trying to be. I wished him well, that he would become a citizen. And I reminded him before we left that Jesus loves him. So he took his kids to a Christian school. I asked him if he ever went to a Christian church. He hadn't. I encouraged him to go to a Christian church. Okay, I didn't attack his Hinduism. In fact, I told him that I loved him and Jesus loved him. We're getting ready to leave. And this is the supernatural part of this story. I said, where do you live? In India. How many villages and cities are in India? About 700,000. I Googled it afterwards. About 700,000. I asked this guy where he lived. Okay, after we talked to him, I figured it out. He lives right next to, or right in, I couldn't figure if he said he lived in or right outside of Trichy or Trichyopoly. Do you know where that place is? That's where P.T. Christopher lives. Now, wasn't that amazing? That's exactly where P.T. Of 700,000 villages or cities, this guy hailed from the very place that P.T. Christopher lived. How many of you think that was a coincidence? I said, I've been there. I said, I have been there. Do you know P.T. Christopher? Do you know this ministry? And I talked to him a little about it. That was God confirming to me that, Brad, you're right on target. You're hearing from me. You're hearing from me. God can speak to us so specifically and lead us in our lives so specifically if we are open to hear from the Lord. If you would have been there, it wasn't a big deal. I didn't do anything earth-shattering. I didn't lead these people to the Lord. I didn't heal the sick or raise the dead. But the Lord was just showing me, Brad, keep at this. You're right on target. Keep listening to my voice. Now, it may not be that God is dealing with you in the same areas that he's dealing with me. I've been at this for a while. But I guarantee you, God is zeroing in on your life, and he is confirming to you over and over again that he's speaking to you. Over and over and over again, he's speaking. And remember what Kurt talked about last week. He said, don't harden your hearts when God begins to speak to you. There have been times in my life, and I talked about before, where I've been oblivious. For over a year, God was speaking to me about one thing. It's about getting back in fellowship, and I wouldn't listen because I hardened my heart. Now, some of you know my testimony. The way that God got me back in fellowship is I kept drifting further and further away, shutting my heart down to the Lord. After about a 2 or 3 year period, I went out and I got a DUI. Okay? When I got that DUI, God rattled. I worked at FedEx. I thought I was going to lose my job. God rattled my cage. I don't want you to have to get a DUI or to lose your marriage or to experience great hardship in your life because you're not listening to what God is telling you. How many of you believe that God wanted to spare me all that agony that I went through during that process? He did. He did. In fact, he was talking to me. And I could have said when that happened, God, that's not fair. Why did it? No one else, this doesn't happen. Why did this happen to me? But I knew why it happened to me because I had hardened my heart to what God was telling me day by day, moment by moment from his word. Now, do you think that God allowed that to happen because he was wanted to pour out wrath and hated me? No. No. God was trying to get my attention one last time. And you know what? It did get my attention. It was at that point that I began to allow the Lord to turn my life around. I allowed God to begin to deal with me, and I set my sails. It was shortly after that that I wound up at VGF at the altar, crying at the altar at VGF. What am I saying? God isn't just speaking to us and just from words of knowledge or in our day-to-day walks. God is speaking to us in 1,000 ways. In this book of 1 John, John is going to tell us, and I'm going to read the first 4 or 5 verses, John is going to tell us that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. John is going to tell us a simple formula. If you follow this simple formula from the Word of God, I am telling you it is true. If you follow this simple formula from the Word of God and listen to it, your walk with God can go like this. It'll just go just like this. If you're walking in the light as he is in the light and the blood of Jesus is cleansing you from all unrighteousness, your path is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. When you turn away from the word of the Lord and you start going the other ways, things get cloudy, things get murky, things get indistinct, things get darker and darker. And you should know where you're at in that journey. Well, Brother Brad, how do I know I've heard from God? The Word says that the peace of God should be guiding your heart. The peace of God. The minute that you step out of the peace of God, you can be sure that you're starting to go the wrong way. Then if I have a word with you and something's not right and I'm on you and you're upset and I lose my peace, I have to go to God and say, God, what's going on here? Why am I losing my peace? You know, Denny smacked me across the mouth, you know, whatever. He shook me. Denny's upset. And I say, okay, and I've lost my peace. God, why have I lost my peace? Not what they've done. I don't care what they've done. Lord, why am I losing my peace? What's going on in me? What do I need to do? Brad, you're too sensitive. Brad, you're too sensitive. Brad, you've still got a lot of yourself in your life. When they smacked Jesus on the cheek, he turned the other cheek. Doesn't the Bible say something about that? Brad, you got it. And here's the truth of it. Not my opinion. It's not the opinion of your pastor. If you've lost your peace, you're stepping out. Because God will keep us in perfect peace when our hearts are stayed on him. He'll keep us in perfect peace. That's why Paul tells you, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, whatever things are noble, think about these things. Consider these things. Cast your anxieties onto the Lord. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen in a day or in a minute. Sometimes we have to process with the Lord. We've got to go before God and allow things to work in our hearts and try to work out of our hearts. I can tell you for sure, husbands and wives, when you have those encounters, God's trying to work something out in both of you. I've heard many preachers say this. When you're on a job and your boss is kicking you the wrong way, you might have a horrible boss. He might be the worst boss you've ever had, but I can guarantee you God is trying to work something in your life to bring change to you. In all relationships, it's kind of like, you know, even like on a basketball team, you know, you have a coach. I know people that got offended by their coaches in high school sports and they quit the team. You know anybody, they had one of the best gifts in sports and they allowed the coach to offend them in a sport and they quit playing and never played again. You ever meet anybody like that? They were great. And they allowed that offense to drive them away from their gift that God gave them. No, that's a test. That's a test for you. And as a Christian, you have the power in you to overcome that test and obstacle because the greater one, we're going to learn, lives inside of you. Now, you may need to go back up to the plate over and over again in this test. You may fail it 1,000 times, but God is going to bring us right back up there because God wants his children to overcome. He wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to walk in the victory that Jesus walked in. So you may encounter this thing over and over, but you will get the victory if you don't quit. I want to read the scripture. 1 John, it's 12:01, so I got to close. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, probably 1 through 5 or 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be made full. I wrote in my notes here, that your joy may be fully actualized, that your joy may be fully realized, fully revealed, fully uncovered. This then is the message we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And I'm going to stop there. We got a lot of ways to go here. There is not a speck of darkness in God, not an ounce. God's love and light is shining out. We're going to find out there's not a speck of hatred in God. There's not a speck of unrighteousness in God. There's not a lie in God, and we are going to be encouraged to walk just like Jesus walked. Challenging? Challenging? Folks, when we learn and we discover and we have to grow in this thing and we start walking in the light and learn what it means to walk in the light, our joy increases and increases. God is not coming into your life to depress you or put more burdens on you or to distress you. God is always and forever trying to remove burdens off of your life. The word says that burdens were lifted at Calvary. It's not righteousness, joy, and peace that's coming into your life, right, that's distressing you or troubling you. It's not God's goodness, not God's truth, not God's love that's bringing problems. It's quite the opposite. I know for me, I want to press into this more and more because I believe if I can go into life and I can learn to walk in this life, I can walk in this light, then nothing's going to make me stumble. Nothing. Nothing made Jesus stumble. And, you know, Jesus got feisty sometimes. I'm not saying that you won't get feisty sometimes. I'm not saying that you won't have a word of correction to somebody. I'm not saying you won't even have encounters. It doesn't matter how many encounters. You may have an encounter with somebody, but the point is always and forever, what is in your heart? What are you allowing into your heart? You know, Bill, if I can have an encounter with you and I can shake hands and walk away and I don't have any bitterness or anger and distress, then we're going to be okay. We cannot allow life to beat us down. And I know, and if I ask you to raise your hands, how many people like me had gone for long stretches in their life with offense and it detoured you and delayed you for years? I bet I would see many hands in the room. I got hands going up. I got hands everywhere. You want to raise your hands? Raise your hand. I'm talking about for more than one year. Look at that. There's about 50 people raising their hands. Detour you for years. It detoured me for years. I'm learning that this is it. I'm going to talk about a triangle. I'm going to close my message. I had this thought of a triangle this week, and that God is right here in this triangle. And I'm over here on the bottom of this triangle, and my neighbor's over here. And we are both worshiping God vertically. We're worshiping God. We're loving God. We're serving God. We're hearing from God. And when we do that and we're worshiping God, then we have fellowship with one another. There's communion. Our union will bring communion with one another, right? If either one of those triangles is severed, if my walk with you, Rodney, gets severed, that's going to hurt my relationship up here. We're going to learn that. I sever my relationship with you. I walk away, then it's going to hurt my communion with God. Or when my relationship with God gets severed, I quit fellowshipping with God, that's going to start hurting my horizontal relationships too. Either one. Here's how it's supposed to be. We're walking in union and communion with God, and then that spills down where we walk in fellowship and communion with one another and love one another. And it can be a powerful, beautiful witness in any community. It's powerful. The minute you get off that path, start seeking the Lord, asking the Lord to show you the way out of that path. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm ending, and I don't know how we want to do this. I'm not so much interested in altar call because I already know that all 50 of us or everybody in this room could probably respond to this altar call. I know that. This is the Christian life. You know, the most powerful message in the Christian life is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. That's the most powerful. That what Jesus did on the cross, when Jesus loved you enough to forgive you, that becomes the most powerful lesson that there is. When you know that your Father loves you without reservation, when you know that your Father forgives you without reservation, when you know the price that He paid to forgive you, you become solid. You begin to mature because you know no matter what you do or no matter what goes on in your life that God loves you and He's never going to fail you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to turn His back on you. You start getting some maturity and you can go to your Father and you can grow in Him. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So here's what I want to do. Amy, when we do